to the Joy Power Hour on Well Watered Joy. I'm Tiffany, and I'll be bringing you uplifting tunes, words of encouragement, and general inspiration to keep joy at the center of your life. Welcome to your new Sunday night fix for the Monday Blues. Tune in on Sundays at 6 p.m. on 104.6 Planet FM or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/wellwateredjoy. Hello and welcome to another episode of Well Watered Joy. My name is Tiffany and I am your host, your constant gardener, bringing you joy, inspiration, and uplifting tunes. So tonight's episode is all about appreciating the beauty of the Father in everything around us and in us. And I'm going to be joined by a special guest, Miss Lee Marie Dashti. I'm so excited to have this korero with you. And Lee, that means conversation. And you're going to be sharing with us your journey about appreciating the beauty all around us. Now, Lee is my visitor from the Americas, both the States and the South. Well, no, Mexico's not South America. It's on its own. It's North America, right? Yeah, it's up there. It's Americas. So she's going to be here, and she's going to be having a conversation with me, and I'm so honored that you are here and that you would take your time while you're here to actually come talk to us.
Yeah.
Now, you're in New Zealand, Aotearoa, and what we typically do before we have a korero is what is called a karakia. And so it's an incantation, and essentially what it does is it kind of clears the space out and allows us to be thankful for the space we're in and really give a good sense of presence to what the conversation we're about to embark on. So I'm going to open with a karakia that is going to basically just lay the ground for what we're talking about, and it also calms your wairua, which is your soul. Okay? So here we go. Whakataka te hau ki te uru, whakataka te hau ki te tonga, kia mā kina kina ki uta, kia mā taratara ki tai, e hi aki ana te atakura, he tio, he huka, he hohu, ti he mori ora. And so what that means, cease the winds from the west, cease the winds from the south, let the breeze blow over the land, let the breeze blow over the ocean, let the red-tipped dawn come with a sharpened air, a touch of frost, a promise of a glorious day, the breath of life. And I know that you are really appreciative of just that space, really appreciating that breath of life, the water, the air, all of those things, and we're going to get more into that. And also, just to kind of touch on that, your name, Lee Marie, actually, Marie is pronounced Marie in Tereo, so I'm just going to call you Lee Marie. Okay, that's your new name.
I love it. Lee Marie.
Lee Marie. So thank you, Lee Marie, for being here and taking up the mighty call from all the way across the seas. You know, you imagine that horn, just calling you in, you know?
Yes.
But I want to tell people about you and who you are. Now, Lee is a transformational life coach and creator of the Wilding Retreat. If you want to know more about that, you can visit Lee's Instagram, which we'll give out at the end of the show. But she empowers conventional women to unrobot so that they have the audacity to create their lives aligned with their wild spirits. Now, Lee is a free-spirited American expat and enjoys living a simplified lifestyle connected to spirit, joy and service, and immersed in nature in a small Mexican beach town. Now, if that's not enough, I mean, all of that, we can just have a question on each one of those, you know? But I love the idea of unroboting. And it wasn't, you know, one of my questions, but I'm going to pop it up now. What does that mean to unrobot?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you and so proud of you.
Thank you.
So unroboting is breaking free from convention. Yeah. It's making your own rules. It's listening to the call from deep within. Mm-hmm. It's freeing yourself from the trappings, as I call, or the limitations of your mind, not acting from fear, mm-hmm. Not acting from doubt, or how about just not acting? yeah. It's full self-expression. It's the courage to embody your truth. It's the commitment to quieting the mind so that you can hear the voice within, mm-hmm. And the voice of God speaking through you to really invite you to be who you are, yeah. and to do on this earth what you're meant to do. So you couldn't possibly do that as a machine.
Yeah.
So when I think of unroboting, I really mean that is really having the, I say audacity because it's a lot easier to be a robot.
Yes.
And to do as we're told.
Yes.
And both you and I are expats even in that way, right? Kind of making our own rules and listening to how we're called and honoring ourselves. It's really self-honoring and honoring God. So
absolutely.
To me, that's unroboting.
Absolutely. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I hope that, that sticks with people because one of the reasons why I really wanted you to be on the show and to talk about this is because I have seen your journey and we used to work together years ago. That's how we met. And I think it's really cool that the both of us have done our different paths, but are still sharing those same common traits about learning who you are, getting into it, who you are, who God tells you you are. And really delving into that, not being the robot, not being afraid to break away from convention, you know? Mm-hmm. We come from a culture that is very much centered in you work, you make the money, you just keep going up the corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. But is it satisfying? And is it something, sometimes I find that we are going along with what the culture says versus what God says.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we actually have to move down the ladder in order to fulfill purpose, or just move laterally. So I just think it's beautiful that unroboting is part of what you've really tapped into. And I think for me, having this conversation and relating it back to joy and relating it back to spirit, relating it back to God, is that God is so multifaceted that it isn't always about the conversation about church and going to church. Mm-hmm. There are so many elements that we miss mm-hmm. because we don't actually just stop and appreciate God's beauty around us. He created everything. And I think it's actually a shame that we kind of walk by it, don't appreciate it, and just kind of, you know, go in the day-to-day. Without actually appreciating what is around us. And so that's why I was like, you know what? I think it'd be pretty cool because I see you. I see you actually enjoying all of those things, you know? Yeah. And sometimes we get wrapped up in, you know, are people worshiping the moon? Are people worshiping the water? No, we're not. We're appreciating the beauty and appreciating it's like when you're in the water, it's kind of like God's embrace, mm-hmm. right? Like just wrapping all around you. He's not physical, but you can go inside of the water and just feel that embrace, you know? So it's appreciating.
Yeah.
And I think, we could do a little bit more of that, guys. How do you actually, you know, learn to just embrace the beauty around you? Because you do it so well and you share that with us so well.
Thank you. Yeah, I think you touched on it. Like, first of all, nature, like so much, right? Even the beautiful incantation you shared for us. I feel God anytime I'm immersed in nature. And I should say too, just to qualify, like I consider myself of multiple belonging. And that's something that I think should be clarified because you'll hear me say, I mean, I'm first of all, not that anyone can see this, but I'm wearing a cross that I was baptized in when I was just a few weeks old. And also I'm wearing a Buddha around my neck.
Yeah.
So I consider myself someone who's connected to spirit, as I usually call it these days, but having no religious affiliation whatsoever. So for me, God can be felt immensely, enormously in nature. When you say being immersed in water and being hugged by spirit in that way, I find that to be true. Today, even just walking in the forest and forest bathing, seeing rays of light kind of like piercing through leaves and things like that. Like those are the smelling roses. My gosh, I was just in the States walking around smelling roses on the street and taking times to like, you know, kind of like be enamored with a berry that's growing on the street, you know, things like this where again, if you're going so fast, like you said, kind of like if you're in a robotic way, you're missing the simple joys and the simple beauties and the simple, you know, this awe and wonder, right? This like childlike, I was thinking about you before I came as well, and like what, why we are on these parallel paths. And something that I think we both have in common is we have a bit of a childlike spirit, or like this awe and wonder, this discovery of God or beauty and joy in everything, in any and all things, right? Yes. So that's one of the ways that I really, you know, nature for me is just huge.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I moved to Mexico to really, and out of cities. You know, we were both New Yorkers at certain times in our lives too. And now when I come into cities, I feel very removed. I tell people a lot, like I feel disconnected from spirit. Because there's so many man-made things, and even though God created that as well, I can't quite tap into being immersed as well. Mm-hmm. Something that I want to share too, that's a big part of my life, that's around my neck as well though, is just breath.
Yeah.
Right? Or anything, meditation, right? Anything that, and prayer.
Yeah.
Taking the time to, as I would say, quiet the mind, because I find that the voice of spirit cannot get through a busy mind.
Yeah.
And we don't have to, right? But if we want to really receive that and receive the message, we've got to do, in our human responsibility, right, is to learn how to quiet. And again, I'll go back to nature. Like nothing is more inviting. We talked about circumstance before we even, our physical conditions, our physical circumstances. When I say on robot, even, I mean like coming out, being in nature, because we're more invited. Mm-hmm. When I'm laying on, you know, like the abundance of like millions of grains of sand around me and having like beautiful sun rays hitting me and stuff too, right? That's when I can quiet the mind and be still enough that I can listen, that I can talk, and really receive the message. And it comes in like that, you know what I mean? Because we're always being spoken to, and we're always being invited, that's and we're always getting exactly what we need as far as the message goes. So to me, so much of it is about usually in the morning for me, just taking the time to like, to disconnect, so to speak, to reconnect to the bigger thing, to myself and to spirit. And so that can be done however that is for you. But for me, it's kind of lying on my back and in a park or something, like anything. I today, even in Auckland, I was like, give me the nearest patch of grass. And I'm okay. You know what I mean? That's what it is. It's just getting even morning light and looking at the sun or the clouds or just, finding the beauty and all that. So,
You know, and we joked about it. We joked about like, oh, welcome to New Zealand. Shoes are optional. Yeah. But there is actually something in it about being grounded and having your bare feet just kind of connect with the ground.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's not, back in the day, that used to be a thing. You know, it used to be grass. Mm-hmm. We didn't always have, you know, asphalt or concrete sidewalks, you know? And there's a reason why grounding is so special to connect you back to where you belong.
That's right.
You know? You're a part of this environment.
When you think of like the earth, you think of the energy of the earth. I think of that elementally and just like kind of like the energy of a mountain, which is just still and massive and vast and powerful and strong. And so if I can connect to that rather than the energy of a busy street with lights and signs and flashes, you think of the energy and the vibration that's attached to each of those things. Like I like the stillness, even the water, you know, I think of water as being such a feminine spirit as well, where it's like so powerful. The ocean is so powerful, so beautiful and, you know, kind of cleansing and still sometimes as well, and kind of these like but it's got that soft feminine power, you know what I mean? And I think about like that being more naturally about who we are than the hustle and bustle of conventional everyday life.
Yeah, and convention will tell you, oh, it's raining, oh, it's terrible, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's beautiful, we need the rain.
That's right.
You know, if we didn't have rain, we're not going to have crops, we're not going to, you know, so just enjoy it.
Yeah, go outside and get wet. You know, say like I used to have one of my early coaches would be say, great, so there's water falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
Like, why are we busying our minds? Yeah. You know, we're talking about busying our minds and talk about humans and like, it's very human nature to just complain, right? Like we have to have something to talk about, and a lot of it is negative if it's unconscious. And so I find, you know, certain whole topics are just placed here to tempt us into complaint. and I find weather is one, I find I won't get into the others. But, right? Because I think about, okay, what's the quality of thought? What's the quality of thinking? What's the quality of energy underneath all those? And complaint is really, talk about, talk about spirit not coming through. Why do we just, why are we going to get the message through that? So, yeah, anything that's keeping us stuck in. Yeah. Kind of resistance, so to speak. But yeah, it's always interesting to me when people complain about weather.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is the disconnect. The more that you are connected in self, the more that you're connected in spirit, the less you'll feel annoyed by the physical things or like, this isn't going right. You know, even the changing your talk about like, oh, I'm having a bad day. No, not necessarily. You might be having bad moments throughout the day, but your whole day isn't spoiled.
Right.
You know?
I actually try not to use the word good or bad anyway. Mm. Like, it's all just, things just are. So I might even say I'm having a challenging day. Because why is it
like
bad?
That.
Right. Also, and I'm sure we'll get into this, but if that day is placed for you as a gift to learn something, how dare you deny the gift? So I tried to say, great, today is really hard and thank you for it.
Yeah.
Because I'm supposed to learn something in the challenge.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we do this. I was supposed to, if it's raining, then great. I'm meant to change my plans. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just change your outfit. That's
Outside. You know, speaking of kids, it's like these days I'll go outside and like run around in the rain and like laugh. How to find joy? Act like a child.
Yes. Yeah. I never want to grow up. We had that. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Yeah. That's me, man.
Yes. It's a trick. It's a trick.
And you know what? I think it is, again, just keeping that spirit within you. And one of my favorite songs is India Ari. And it's called God is Real. And I'm going to play it for you now. I know you haven't heard it before, so I really just want you to listen because I think that the words of the song really resonate with what you've said. And I just want to delve into it a little bit more after we hear it. So here we go. God is Real, India Ari.
Science can answer everything except the why of the why of the why of the why. Yet the debate still goes on day after day.
Sweetest honey to the brightest flower, the largest planet to the smallest atom, snowflakes in the bird kingdom. Smaller than the eye can see, bigger than mine can conceive. Oh, I heard a man on the radio today.
I'm not going to believe anything that I can't see, and I've been through a lot of hardships in my life. No one
must confess. Disagree with what he had to say. How could he not believe that God is real? I don't understand how he could feel that way when there's earth, air, water, and fire. So many different flowers, sunshine and rain showers. So many different crystals and hills and volcanoes. That's how I know that God is real. All of this is not by chance. That's how I know that God is real. All of this is not by chance. That's how I know that God is real. I know this is not by chance. That's how I know that God is real. I jumped in the water.
It's like I was seeing for the first time. I mean, it literally changed my life.
For the first time, I understood its power. 'Cause as I swam, I was clear. If I had any doubts, this experience cleared them. Now I know for sure that God is real. I know that it's the truth by the way it feels. 'Cause I saw starfish, sponges, fish shaped like trumpets. So many different colors. I stayed out there for hours and I only saw a fraction of the deepest of the deep of the great wide. It brought a tear to my eye. It
is how I know that God is real. All of this is not by chance. It's how I know that God is real. All of this is not by chance. It's how I know that God is real. I know this is not by chance. It's how I know that God is real. My tears are. You feel me. The sun rises and sets every day without fail. That's how I know that God is real. All of this is not by chance. That's how I know that God is real. I know this is not by chance. That's how I know that God is real. All of this is not by chance. That's how I know that God is real.
All of this is not by chance, Lee. You being here, us being, you know, still friends after all these years, all of this is not by chance. And I think just delving into some of those lyrics, you know, she's talking about the earth and the air and the fire and the water and the flowers and the sunshine and the rain shower, you know, all those things we actually just talked about, you know, and how beautiful is it for someone to truly recognize that? And I just want to, because that is your first time hearing that, I want to hear more from you about that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the song is beautiful, and I'm struck by that. It is indeed perfectly what we were talking about. And I think that's what I hear in it, is the perfectness of what God brings. And kind of back to our early point about the weather is just, when things are challenging or when there's rain, or when we're being human. How perfect it all is, and how exactly as it's supposed to be that things are. And so I hear that in, you know, even like the things that it's easy to complain about, like rain, and we just realize that like that imperfection is actually exactly what's supposed to be happening. And so we can really just be one with all of that and in acceptance for all of that. And I think about like that on the human journey. And being reminded in nature that rain isn't bad.
No.
That's like saying this scar on my body isn't bad.
No.
Right?
Your body did exactly what it was supposed to do.
That's right. And, this gray hair isn't bad. My aging isn't bad. It's exactly what's supposed to be. It's God-given.
Yeah.
And that's, that I hear that in the song, just the beauty and perfection of exactly what's being given.
Exactly.
And nature teaches that, you know, and that's the one thing too about spending more time, and we can like look at how nature is. And I always like to think of like a tree and the rate at which a tree grows related to the rate that we think we should be growing, and the level of impatience that we have for things, and the force and the will that humans kind of put on everything, and the striving in the conventional world of like making things happen and the efforting that we do. And then we stop and we look and we're like, look at the tree.
Yeah.
It's perfect. You know, it didn't try to say, I gotta go fast. I better grow to the sky faster. Like, imagine, that's just not how the ocean's not like, we better get more waves. you know?
You're not waving imagine. Fast enough.
Because I don't think that's like the internal conversation the ocean's having, but we do. And so we get to like take some, you know, I really think God like, you know, invites us into nature, or like really place that nature around us. And it's kind of up to us to kind of like get ourselves in there and then get those lessons.
Absolutely.
So
I, a few times I've done it now, what I call a free air walk. And it's essentially just a walk where you are going out and just appreciate your, all right, maybe I won't say free balling, but I just did. it's kind of like free balling in nature. And you are essentially just like, I'm out here. I'm going to experience what I experience. I don't have an agenda. I am just going to let it hit me. You know, if it's noise from a car, if it's a bird song, I'm just going to experience it all and take it all in for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's appreciating, you know, it doesn't have to be a bushwalk. It can just simply be walking where you are, you know, appreciating all of that.
Yeah.
And I think just thinking of, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking of the verse in the Bible that Jesus is like, look, don't worry about tomorrow, man. Like, let tomorrow have its own worries. Mm-hmm. You know, do you see the birds in the trees worried about where they're going to get their worms from tomorrow? No, they're just getting up and looking for those worms, you know, because they know they're going to find them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay.
That's right.
You know?
It's the natural order. We have to trust the natural order. And it's, I think, when we try to kind of impose our human will on things is when we kind of fudge things up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we just let, like, so much of it about it is about, like, kind of that hands-off surrendering, which I always like to talk about surrender because I think so many, like, people are, what do you mean, just do nothing?
Mm.
It's like, no, it's not passivity or resignation, but it's just an allowance and an acceptance. So even when we do things like complain, it's like we're not allowing what is so. And just like, hands off.
Yeah.
And taking all the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is the gift.
Everything is the gift.
And I think about it in relationships as well. You know, we do a lot of, you know, griping and grappling with human to human, you know, people relating, and seeing even people, like everything's this, like every challenge, every situation is like a golden link, I like to say, you know, like that helps, learn something or helps you kind of materialize in a certain way or get closer to God or get closer to love, which I often think of God as love, like, you know,
absolutely.
Anything that's getting closer to love is closer to God and vice versa.
Yeah.
So something that's teaching me to love.
Hmm. Hoo-wee. I didn't know. When did you become a preacher?
Just yesterday.
I don't remember reading that in your bio.
More of this.
So what I ask most people when they come on here, the name of the show is Wellward or Joy. Mm. So obviously joy is a big theme. Mm. So when you think of joy, what does it mean to you?
Big question.
Yes.
So I like, there's a certain definition of joy that I love. It's Brené Brown.
Mm.
And she called, do you know her definition of joy?
I feel like I've probably written it, but
it's a good one. I really like it. It's the one that's most like akin to my kind of feeling of joy, because it's a feeling, right?
Yeah.
It's the good mood of the soul. And it's different than happiness, right? Which is fleeting. Like, I feel like the good mood, right? It's not like, oh, I'll just get this thing and I'll feel happy and then it'll fleet. It's a state. It's a state of a good mood. It's like a deep, deep orientation to love and acceptance and peace and these things. For me, joy is a lot of excitement.
Mm.
Joy has a particular kind of enthusiasm to it, kind of tied to what we're talking about, like awe and wonder.
Mm.
Joy is play to me. Joy is movement to me. Being in my body is often joyful.
Mm.
I'm in my body a lot. You know me that way as being like a runner in the past and a big yogi. And that's a big connection for me, is finding the joy of just breathing and being in my body. And that, to me, like, what's more alive than breathing? That brings great
joy. It is
joy.
Literally how, you know, he breathed life into, right?
And so my joy is that it's play, it's nature, it's movement, it's laughter, it's music. I know for you it's music. We've always how many road trips have we had just singing our hearts out
back when we used to create CDs.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it's music, it's laughter, it's nature. It's all simple too. Like, and you know, it's an energy, right? Like, when I think about energy, I think it's like good mood of the soul. It's like, I like joy and I like a lot of these feelings because we can access them. You know, I like to think of those things and our emotions as like our responsibility.
Mm.
And so we can change our energetic state at any time.
Yes, we can.
And so with interacting or, you know, kind of participating, engaging with any of those things, we can be in joy.
Yeah.
We can, and it's a remembering. Again, it's going to find the good mood that you have deep within.
Oh, it's so good.
There's not any adding, really. It's just we talked about physical environment, getting myself into an environment that I can find my own joy.
Yeah.
I can go inside.
Yeah.
I can quiet the mind. And it can also be flow, right? Because I think it's like a state of non-think joy. It's like, are you thinking when you're laughing? Are you thinking when you're playing? Are you thinking when you're swimming? etc. Are you thinking when you're singing and hugging and all those things? Yeah. So anything that gets you in flow, like joy, is right there.
Yeah, just enjoying it. Yeah,
enjoying it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And I ask you to share a song with me that helps you to center yourself and in that joy. And I want you to tell me the name of the song and the artist that we're about to hear.
So it's Hymn to the Soul, and it's by L-A-O-R. Yeah. I don't actually know this artist very well.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take a listen, and then I just want to hear some more of your thoughts about the song and why it actually brings joy to you.
Sure.
The Soul. Wow. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful song, you know? And I just want you to talk about, you said that is like your joy song.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so special to you, that song?
So I play that song on retreats. It's a journey, and, you know, the lyric is open up and fly. And we've been talking so much about nature. I like to think of, you know, the soaring of birds. Like, to me, that's the coming alive, the full expression. So in the song, you know, it's very much like, it's like the blooming, or the kind of opening of the wings. You know, I always kind of flap, like I flap kind of when I like, hear that song. It kind of, it just makes me lighter. It's like a lightning and a lightning, a lightning, until I feel like I can soar. And some of the lyrics also that I just am really drawn to, he says, you know, like, so good to give, so good to receive. He also says, like, so good to laugh, so good to cry. Like, there's this like duality in everything that he's saying, which goes back to kind of like the perfection of, or the balance of, everything that we're experiencing that's God-given. On both ends of the coin of all of that. And so, yeah, and at one point he says, it's so good to believe. You know, it's so good to believe. And it is so good to believe.
Yeah.
Like that great mystery is so fun.
Yeah.
It is joy to me as well.
Yeah.
That song really makes me come alive. And when I play it on retreat, I do kind of like a, I don't want to call it an interpretive dance, but kind of where we kind of like free dance around, and then we're really soaring around. And I play it as like an auxiliary, like an ecstatic kind of experience at the end of retreat, yeah, as a celebratory song.
So. Tell us more about the retreat. It's called the Wildin Retreat, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that and what made you kind of see the need to have something like that.
This is an experience, a transformational experience for women, mm-hmm, specifically women, to get out of their comfort zones, number one. I bring women into the Mexican jungle, where we have no Wi-Fi, no connection, and one of the biggest elements of it is people get to be immersed in nature and remember kind of their natural rhythms, and do the quieting of the mind. I coach on retreat as well, so we kind of do a lot of awareness work of the limits and the stories and the blocks and the fears, such that we can erode those or move past those, and we use nature kind of as a way to do the quieting of the mind and the emptying of the mind, so that we can be spoken to and access the higher calling. And access, really, what I say is to like really to free your spirit, to remember who you are at your core, and to self-express. There's so much vulnerability that happens. We do sister circles, we do all sorts of ceremony, we do indigenous ceremonies to Mexico as well, and I take people to their edge as well in play, and in adventure. You know, I create a kind of like a net of safety for the women to really feel like they can be seen and supported as they are.
Yeah.
Both in their, you know, their fears and their joys. And there's a lot of laughing and crying. There's that dual experience.
Yes.
And people leave, women leave, you know, so kind of broken through, like broken open. You know, they feel alive. They feel connected again. They feel this kind of like ability to act on intuition, not have to think about what you're saying, you know, this like free expression, this courage to just be, to be who they are at their essence, at their core essence, to remember who they are. So it's a wild, it's a wilding, it's a rewilding. Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun, and it's a 7-day experience. So it's immersive, you know. Yeah. And there's free time as well. I think there's an integration time throughout, because you know you need that. You need time to just not. I mean, you don't want to just be told what to do the entire time as well. And there's journal time, and there's, you know, kind of prayer time, meditation time. It's really fun.
Yeah, even in itself, it's duality. It's nature, but getting back to your nature as a human. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I was talking to a friend who's pregnant, and she was saying, I can feel every single change happening to my body, you know? And I think that we just kind of, going back to the robotic feel, we kind of carry on day to day, not really paying attention to our bodies. And I think really tapping in to, you know, your body is a temple, right? And how we treat it is, you know, we should probably do a bit better with how we, you know, do that. But you have to listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn the mechanisms on how to actually tap in and hear what it's telling you.
Yeah.
You know, and this thing is a pretty good machine. You know, if something is wrong, the indicator light is going to come on.
That's
we may ignore it.
Yeah.
But the light has come on to tell you, hey, something is wrong. And I think things like what you're doing really help women to tap in, to say like, get in touch with how your body is supposed to feel. That way, when something is wrong, you'll actually feel it.
You know, that's right.
Empty your mind so that if you are to get a message, you can actually hear it.
Yeah.
You know? Get rid of the noise. Tap in.
That's
tap
right.
In.
Well, you tapped.
You know,
that's
I did.
Perfect.
I did. Tap. Okay. but yeah, I really enjoy just getting into that, because I think you know, we are at our core human, and this physical body, we are carrying this around, you know, mm-hmm. and I think what's so cool about you is that you really do tap into that, understanding how your body moves and understanding how to use it and taking care of it, you know?
Yeah.
And what has that journey been like for you? Because, yeah, you used to be a heavy runner, right? And so just kind of that change from running is the thing that I do, but like learning how to, you know, move your body in a different way and even experience it in a different way.
Yeah, thanks. That's a really, because that's been a big journey of mine, which you've witnessed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I used to, you know, my dad was a runner, so I should say that if we look at conditioning.
Yeah.
No mistake, right? No, you know, in perfect form, like I became a runner. I did what I was thought I was supposed to do. And yeah, I was a triathlete and a marathoner for 20 plus years competitively. Mm-hmm. And not that I look back on that time, and because it's been a few years out, not that I look back on that time and think that I was, you know, abusing myself in any way or that, but there was a bit of force there. There was also a bit of like value tied to that, worthiness tied to that, maybe pride in a way that isn't so healthy or is a little more egoed than what is pure and what is loving tied to that, the use of my body to gain, I don't know, acceptance, love, approval. So there was a bit of what I say, like in my journey, and I'm not sure this is language you use here, but like a bit of like toxic masculinity in the way that I was pushing and forcing and exerting and efforting. When I think about, and if I can say this to you on the show too, when I think about my female cycle and things like that, like I was completely ignoring that just so I can be training and pushing and hard and, in some ways, it was meditative to me when I would go on long runs. Anyone who's ever run knows that the runner's high is real, and obviously the release of all sorts of, you know, delicious hormones kind of going on. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
But that was my solace in a lot of ways. But I think I was doing it in a way that was kind of more based in like validation and worthiness and a toxic push. These days, I use, you know, I tap into my body a lot, but it's more in the form of yoga, dance. When I think of my journey as a woman too, it's a softening journey. Mm-hmm. And so now I use my body as a way to experience joy and pleasure, but in a way that's softer and more sensual and more supple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, my body, you know, I used to be so afraid of my body changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, what
the
if
change.
I'm not? Yeah, or, you know, that I have to look a certain way, you know, this kind of like very like modern thing. And these days I just I use my body, like I move my body as I wish. But often, and on retreat too, we do often, you know, we dance and we run around and we play. But I use it as like an instrument to experience pleasure and joy. Yeah. And I keep it, it is a temple. And mm-hmm. so I keep it clean.
Yeah.
And I keep it light and I keep it joyous. And, I make good practice of releasing the tension from it. And even with eating and nourishing, you know, I really feed it. I nourish it. I think of food as nourishing. It's not a dumping ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an emotional kind of dumping zone.
Yeah.
It used to be. I was a binge ate and did all those things. But now the body is an instrument to self-honor.
Mm, wow.
We can practice self-honoring through having a body. And that's one of the parts of being human.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, man. Holy man, Lee Marie.
Yes, my new name.
Ooh, I really hope that, you know, folks that are listening are really getting a different perspective of what we mean by well-worded joy and even just the fruit of the spirit, you know, and truly it can be so multifaceted. So thank you so much for introducing something new to the audience, you know, and really tapping into a different perspective of our humanity and who we are. So I'm going to close it right there. Is that all right?
Yes. Thank you for receiving me.
All right. No, thank you.
It was
beautiful.
Thank
you for coming all the way from Mexico.
Yeah.
By way of Americas and then by way of anyway. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
So lovely people, I'm going to close you out right there. And Lee, we open with a catechia, so we have to close the space with a catechia. So I'm going to say our lovely katakia. Unuhia, unuhia, unuhia ki te uru tapu nui, kia wātia, kia mama te kakau, te tinana, te wairua, i te ara takatū. Koe rā e roko whakaeria, aka ki ruka, kia tine, tine hui e, tai ki e. Excuse my pronunciation there, everyone. And just to translate that one, it's draw on the supreme sacredness to clear, to free the heart, the body, and spirit of mankind. Roko suspended high above us, join all together, bind all together, let it be done. And with that, we will let it be done. Thank you for listening to Well Worded Joy. We will see you back here next week. Same time, same place. Have a great week.